Rapture. It's Mike Wynn with this week's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. A little warmer opera for you first in what is a piano-heavy week. What was that called? Why? Piango Pay the Man, of course, written and played by pianist Michel Petrucciani with noble support from Steve Thornton percussion, recorded in, I think, 91. This Blue Note album called Playground tells us the names of the recording engineers, the assistant recording engineers, the assistant mixing engineer, the art director, the photographer of the front cover photo, the photographer of the back cover photo, the art designer, the mastering engineer, all useful info, no doubt. But no mention of the date. I do get bees in my bonnet when they don't include the recording date. It's so simple to, why not do it? Ho-hum. Petrucciani was born in Orange in France in December 62 before moving initially to Paris and then to the US, and he died in New York in Jan 99, just after his 37th birthday. He was born with osteogenesis imperfecta, which caused his very short stature and also brittle bones, and yet despite that enormous physical handicap, he was a quite superb pianist. Love his work. The Battle Hymn of the Yorkshireman coming up. And yes, I'm one of those many proud but insufferable Yorkshiremen who go on and on about it being God's country. Well, it is. That was, of course, Ilkley Mor Ba Tat, the Yorkshire folk song that became that county's unofficial anthem. The story being the concern of a young girl for her lover's lack of a hat on the traditionally windswept Ilkley Mor, so he could die of exposure, be buried, eaten by worms, which are then eaten by ducks, which in turn are eaten by the singers from the Halifax Church Choir, who allegedly wrote the song on a visit to the moor. So, moral of that, don't go there without a hat. That fabulous 1961 version was recorded in New York by a trio calling themselves, for this one-off recording session for an EP, the British Jazz Trio, Derek Smith piano, John Drew bass and Kenny Harris drums. I've got that on a compilation of artists who were once associated with the Flamingo Club in Soho. It's a 2-CD album, fantastic. And here's another track from it, so you can judge for yourselves. Thank you. The artists on this Flamingo Connection double CD include Tubby Hayes, Ronnie Scott, and in fact, the Flamingo, of course, isn't very far from where Ronnie opened his first club, his now called Old Place. I used to visit the Flamingo Club lots in the mid-60s. Great venue. It was usually Georgie Fame, John Mayall, or Zoot Money on my visits back then. But back to this song at last. Girl in Blue by the Tony Kinsey Quintet. Kinsey was a big name in British jazz at this time. Girl in Blue was recorded in September 61. And just listen to the rest of the members of this quintet, who had several residences at the Flamingo. Jimmy Dutcher, trumpet. Tubby Hayes, flute, on a rarish outing for Tubbs on the flute, as tenor, and then vibes, being his more usual instruments. Bill Lesage, vibes, Lenny Bush, bass, and Kinsey himself, drums. The original Ember LP was called An Evening with the Tony Kinsey Quintet. Let's have a big band, but listen out for the clarinetist on this next song. Thank you. was the famous Jerry Mulligan Concert Band. Jerry formed it in March 1960 as a 13-piecer, and in its four-year sporadic life, the personnel changed, but not that much. And that was the December 62 iteration. And I chose that particular song, a Bob Brookmeyer compo, Big City Blues, as Mulligan switches from his usual baritone to the clarinet. And that's a rare outing for him on the clarinet. He also plays piano on one track. The trumpet section is Clark Terry, the great jazz man who died recently, Nick Travis, Don Ferrara, and Doc Severinsen. Brookmeyer, obviously, he was a regular feature throughout the concert band's life. But for this song, switching from his usual valve trombone to the piano. Trombones, Willie Dennis and Tony Studd. Saxes, Gene Quill, another concert band regular, Eddie Kane, Jim Ryder and Gene Allen. Jim Hall was on guitar, Bill Crow bass and Gus Johnson drums. So it was a 15-piecer by this date. Let's have a vocal.
Sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on this bumpy road to love. Still I'll always, always keep that memory of till three, the way you changed my life. No, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me.
Singer was Pat Bowie on the September 65 recorded album on Prestige. Yes, Rudy Van Gelder was the recording engineer. This was her one and only album as a leader, and I must admit to buying it on the strength of the Sidemen, as they are superb. Well, you've heard that already. Charles McPherson, alto, Tommy Flanagan, piano, Al Hall, bass, and Ozzie Johnson, drums. The song was the Gershwin Brothers' 1937 compo, They Can't Take That Away From Me, which was introduced by Fred Astaire in his film of that year, 37, Shall We Dance? The liner notes of this LP are interesting in that there's a long paragraph assuring us that Pat Bowie does not sound like Barbara Streisand. Did you think that was Barbara Streisand? No. I went to a gig just this week, and it featured two of the greatest jazz pianists together. Here's one of them, Herbie Hancock. Herbie Hancock, one of the all-time greats on piano, solo piano here, recorded in October 78 in Tokyo and initially only released in Japan. The album was entitled, without too much intervention or hyperbole by the marketing department, as The Piano, Herbie Hancock. 78 predates the official launch of the CD, and this album is something of a pioneer, recorded as direct-to-disc, and was an early prototype CD before the 44.1 kHz standard was finalised. I have the liner notes to thank for that info, whatever it meant. That was on Green Dolphin Street. The gig at the Barbican in London featured Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea, with two grand pianos and, unfortunately for me at least, two electronic keyboards that were used far too much to make non-music sounds. Apart from seeing these two jazz legends together, it wasn't the best ever concert. Again, my personal view, as though it certainly displayed their amazing technical ability and virtuosity, there were no tunes as such. There were two very brief snippets of Watermelon Man, and the crowd went wild both times. But that was it. Here's Chick Corea. ¶¶ Chick Corea in November 99, this time in Osaka in Japan. The album Solo Piano Standards is from locations all around the world. That was Monk's Mood, and Monk was, together with Bud Powell, the main influence on the young Chick Corea when he started out. This album has Chick picking his faves from 10 concerts, in which the second half of his solo piano gigs was dedicated to standards, both jazz standards and inevitably the Great American Songbook. Back to that Hancock Corea gig, if I may. The packed Barbican went wild, and I was at the second of their two-nighter, packed both houses. I wasn't expecting all melodic tunes, not by any means, nor out-and-out virtuoso technique with no melody, but perhaps something in between. Enough said, and enough solo piano for this week. Here's Ellington. Red Garter from Ellington's Feb 59 recorded LP Jazz Party, recorded at Columbia's 30th Street Studio in New York, a converted church, sadly long gone now. Red Garter is the first part of Duke's Toot Suite. All the song titles begin with the word red, including Ready Go. Ha ha. It's the whole gang, of course, the full Ellington band, trombonist Britt Woodman getting the solo part. I must add that Dizzy Gillespie popped in to watch and listen to the recording and brought his horn with him and promptly joined in on one of the songs, giving a six-horn trumpet section. Gillespie, Ray Nance, Clark Terry, Cat Anderson, Shorty Baker, Andres Ford. Each section of the band is full of stars, and there are an additional 9 percussionists. Heaven on earth. It's piano-based drums time now. This album is called Coal After Midnight, recorded for Columbia Records in June 98 at the Monticello Opera House in Florida by the Marcus Roberts Trio. It's stunning, no other word for it. The coal in the title is both Nat King Cole and Cole Porter, or rather, songs associated with or written by them, plus one single original by Marcus Roberts called, you guessed it, Coal After Midnight. Roberts' piano, 2 bassists, Roland Gurin and the gloriously named Thaddeus Expose from New Orleans, Louisiana, who played the bridge. It's Only a Paper Moon is a Harold Arlen compo from 33 with lyrics by E.Y. Harburg and Billy Rose, and it survived being premiered in the flop musical The Great Magoo and went on to become a standard. I'm going to rather lazily leave the intro to our next star and supporting quartet to the more than capable Norman Granz.
Last year when we played our opening concert in Berlin, we were very lucky to have one of the biggest albums that the star of our show has ever had, and it seemed appropriate that we even call the concert that Ella returns to Berlin. I'd like to introduce the members of her group before we start the second half, beginning with the drummer, Gus Johnson. The bassist is Wilfred Middlebrook. The guitarist is Herb Ellis. And completing the rhythm section, the leader of the quartet, Lou Levy. As I said at the beginning of the introduction, last year was Ella in Berlin, and this year it's Ella Comes Back to Berlin. It's Ella Fitzgerald.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now we'd like to do the song that started right here in Berlin. Oh, the shark has 30 teeth, dear, and he shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has Mackie, dear, and he keeps it out of sight. When the shark bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, where's Mackie, dear? So there's not a trace, not a trace of red.
Bobby Darin, me and you both singing the same song as you. Boom, ba da da ba ba da da.
Bobby Darin and Louis Armstrong, they made a record. Woo, what a record of this song. And now Ella, Ella and her fellas, we're making a record. What a record, such a record of this same old.
That was Norman Granz giving the intro there, as well as being a highly respected impresario. He was a major record label founder, Clef, Norgran, Downhome, Verve and Pablo, and he also ran the Jazz at the Philharmonic concert. And lastly, but not leastly, was Ella Fitzgerald's manager. I elevated Ella's Mack the Knife to the opening song to follow Norman's intro, as that was the song that brought the house down on the original Ella in Berlin LP. And I thank Norman for correcting my previously mispronunciation of the pianist's name. He's Lou Levy, and I've always called him Lou Levy. This recording was Feb 61, in Berlin, naturally. So, do you fancy a quick boogaloo? Thank you. And that was from another prestige LP. Yes, Van Gelder was in the control booth, of course. The LP is called Right On Brother. Boogaloo, Joe Jones is the leader on guitar. Rusty Bryant, tenor. Charles Earland, called Charlie, actually, in these liner notes. Charles Earland, he's on the Hammond B3. Jimmy Lewis, bass, electric bass. And Bernard Purdy, drums. And the song was, as I'm sure you recognised, Let It Be Me, which the Everly Brothers had a top 20 hit with in early 1960. Our version was recorded in Feb 1970. Somehow we seem to have reached our closing number already, and it's one of my all-time fave songs. It was, in fact, written by the British-Scottish, I should say, folk singer Ewan McColl back in 57, written for his wife-to-be Peggy Seeger when they were still lovers. McColl was married at the time, I hasten to add. The song became popular when the two of them sang it in folk clubs around the UK, but it wasn't until Roberta Flack recorded and released it in 72 that it became an international hit and was awarded a Grammy that year, 72. The first time ever I saw your face. Here it's played as an instrumental, so we don't hear those lovely words, but the tune still sounds fantastic. This is a July 2005 recording by one of our regular pianists, Cyrus Chestnut. Michael Hawkins is on bass, Neil Smith drums, and Steve Croom percussion. It's been recorded very quietly. I'll turn up the volume as high as I dare. Huge thanks for listening. Really hope you've enjoyed this quick meander along the shelves of my record collection, and equally hope you'll be back with me, Mike Wynn, next week, same time, same place, for another edition of The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Keep well.